So this morning, we're going to talk, as we continue in our series, The Spirit of God, we're going to talk about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. We started this message 3 weeks back. Is it okay to have a gap in between? I believe so. We're going to listen to what the Spirit of God has got to say to us this morning as we think about how the Spirit of God works in our hearts and enables us in our praying. Before we go into our notes this morning, I want to jump back just 2 weeks, and I want to read to you, they'll be on screen, but they're not on your notes, I want to read to you some statements that we considered and we meditated on just 2 weeks ago. And they go like this: prayer is when the heart of man connects with the heart of God. When man's heart is energized and infused with the life of God. Now, as we read through these, again, I want you to do something. I want you to take your experience and your understanding of prayer, and I want you to line it up with these words that God speaks to us. I want you to do a comparison, because I've been through times in my life where I've not experienced where the heart of God meets with my heart, where I sense that energizing force of the Spirit of God filling my heart. But my friends, I've come to realize this, that my experience isn't necessarily the right reference point. What I experience at times is not necessarily what God has in store for me. And so as you read through these statements with me, please don't think, oh, that's not my experience of prayer, and it never will be. Why don't you stretch in faith and believe that God can speak this way and work this way in your prayer life? It is when our heart is shaped and molded by the will of God, when our great desire is to surrender all to Him and His purposes for His glory. It is when we open our hearts for God to fill it with His truth, when our ways and our thoughts and our ideas and our wisdom become insignificant as we hunger for His living word. It is the intimate agreement between God and His child when the child and the father become as one, united by one spirit in purpose and in vision. It is where heaven and earth meet, and heaven influences earth, where that which is of the Spirit becomes more real and overwhelmingly more important than anything related to this earth. It is where the impossible becomes possible, where God fills our hearts with the power of His word, and His word is absolute and the final authority. It is the place of communion and fellowship with God. The access to that life-giving relationship, more vital to us than the air we breathe. It is where the eternal power of Almighty God transforms the frailty, the weakness of human existence, where faith is birthed and God's life is imparted. My friends, that is what God intends for us to experience in what we call prayer. God never intended prayer to be lifeless, mundane, boring, meaningless, or a duty that we simply fulfill. It is my understanding that it has become so easy for us to regard prayer with an attitude of superstition. What do you mean by that? Whereby if I don't pray, if I don't say my prayers, if I don't fill my quota with God in prayer today, and something unpleasant is likely to happen. Where prayer has become more of an insurance policy than it has the life-giving force and relationship that God has always intended it to be. And I'll say it again, our experience must not determine, it must not be the reference point for us to understand what God intended for this beautiful gift of communion with Him, fellowship with Him, which we call prayer, that He intended it to be. The more I experience the life of God, and the more I walk with an open heart before Him, the more I have come to realize that I can speak words which I aim in the direction of God. And I may call them prayer. I can verbalize my feelings and my thoughts. I can even take the word of God that I've learned to recite and to rehearse. And I can recite them to God. But unless the Spirit of God is leading me, those things become no more than words. My friends, I have come to realize, and I realize this with soberness, that I need the Spirit of God to enable me to pray. When I was a young lad, my parents, they would take me to bed. They would kneel me by my bed, kneel with me, and we would say prayers. We would say the same thing every night. And I want to encourage you as parents, teach your children to pray. And that's a good way to start your children. That's a way. But don't stop there. If you're an adult now, the Spirit of God desires to make fellowship between you and God far, far more than saying prayers. You see, some people treat prayers, like I said, as an insurance policy. They jump on a plane and they say, oh, I better pray for God to keep me safe. There's no heart in it. There's no meaning in it. They go for a job interview. Or their child is taking an entrance exam into a school. And they'll say, come on, we need to pray because we want God's favor on you. As though those few words that are uttered just out of a wish and a hope have an effect on eternal matters. But my friends, unless the Spirit of God is leading us in prayer, unless He is filling our hearts with the truth of God's word and with the conviction of what those words, that eternal word, means, and unless He gives us the faith to speak those words, not in hope and not wishing and not begging God to bring them into being, but believing without doubting Those words are just words. It's my guess that I could come round to every single person in this auditorium today and every single person that will listen to this podcast and ask you this question. Have you ever felt disappointed because your prayers have not been answered? And it is my guess that everybody would say yes. Yes. I am disappointed. I have been disappointed. Some people would even say to me, John, I don't know why I bothered to pray. I do it out of duty. I do it because I feel I should. I don't understand the reason behind it. I don't understand the purpose behind it, because it seems no matter how many times I say something and ask something of God, I don't seem to make any difference. And yet the Bible says, and it quotes Jesus, it says, whatever you ask in my name, my Heavenly Father will give it to you. But you see, asking in the name of Jesus doesn't just mean that we come to God with a list of things that we want, and then at the end we say, in Jesus' name, amen. That is not asking in Jesus' name. Jesus said this about the Spirit of God. He said, I'm going away. I'm going to pray to my Father, and He will give you another advocate. You remember we talked about that 2 weeks ago? The Spirit of truth, and He will not leave you. John chapter 15, He says, and when the Spirit of truth has come, listen, He will testify of me. John chapter 16. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will not speak on His own authority, but He, as the Spirit of truth, will tell you the things that I have said. You see, for us to make connection with God in a way in which things on this earth are transformed and changed, which is what prayer is all about, we need the Spirit of God to speak into our hearts the Word, the eternal Word of God. We need Him to put into our hearts faith that believes what God says. You see, so often we face experiences in our life. We maybe have a situation where things don't go the way we hope they would, where we're not experiencing things how we wish they would. And the tendency, the human tendency, is to come up with a solution. Us guys are good at that. We love fixing things, especially when our wives come to us, you know, as the maiden in distress. Oh, honey, this is not working. I can't do this. Can you help me? And we love it. You know, we kind of gain a couple of inches on our chests because we've come up with a solution. But we all do it. We face circumstances. We may be going through an ordeal and we don't like it and it isn't how we want it. And so we come up with the solution. And very often, let me say this lovingly, very often we can say this if we're not careful. Oh, God has told me. God has told me. And we need to know if God has told us. But we usually follow that solution through. We justify it. We come up with reasons why that's the way we've got to move forward. This is how I deal with this situation. I need to move. I need to do this. I need to go there. I need to. And so we go on. And we follow our own solutions, and we hope, on a wing and a prayer, we hope that God will back us up. It's not the way Jesus teaches us. That's not the way that He was referring to when He said, whatever you ask in my name. He was not giving us a license to come up with ideas and have our own desires and go to God and say, God, I'm your child, remember, bless me, get my child into this school, get me the best job going. No, that's not how God intended it to be. When the Word of God says that He will give us the desires of our heart, you ever had any bad desires? Have you ever had any sinful desires? You think God's going to give those to you? Not my God. It means that He will give us His desires in our heart. How? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Let me read this verse to you. Ephesians chapter 6. You okay? This is Paul writing. You may remember, if you've read Ephesians chapter 6, there he talks about God's armor. And he's encouraging us to be clothed, essentially, with Jesus Christ, with the armor of God. And then he says at the end of that little excerpt, he says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So we're going to look at this little phrase for the next few minutes. Praying in the Spirit. Now, I'm just going to say it outright, just because it's the easiest way to deal with this. That does not mean praying in another language or praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is not confined and restricted, if you're such a person inclined to do this, and I'm not against that, to praying in tongues. You don't have to pray in tongues to pray in the Spirit. How do you know that? I'm glad you asked me. Because it says here, pray in the Spirit at all times. And we're not necessarily to pray in tongues at all times. We're to pray with understanding. Praying in the Spirit is the way that God has purposed for us to pray. Prayer, according to God, is designed to be something that we enter into and we enjoy and we experience every time in the Spirit of God. And then that's not some freaky experience. That doesn't mean that you leave your body and you have some kind of out-of-body experience. No. What it means is that you become fully conscious that dwelling within you is the Spirit of God who has been given to you to lead you into all that is true. He has been given to us to speak into our hearts the Word of God, that we may know what is true, what is God's will, that He gives us faith to believe that, and He empowers us to walk in it. And there are some things in this verse that God is going to speak to us as we go through this morning, the next few minutes, that will really, really help us to know what it means to pray in the Spirit. It means this, to pray as one with the Spirit. The Bible talks about us being in Christ. In every believer is in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We have been made one with Christ, so much so that effectively and really and eternally, we are one in Him. And praying in the Spirit is prayer when we are one with the Spirit. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean that here I have my friend beside me called the Spirit of God, and he's speaking into my ear the things that he wants me to pray. No. He dwells in me, listen, and he prays through me. He speaks his word of truth, the will of God, into my spirit. And together, as one, me praying in the spirit, I pray the word of God. So where does asking come into this? Very simply, we ask the Spirit of God to reveal the truth of God to us in everyday circumstances and situations. Stay in the Spirit. You see, let me remind you of this. This is something we should never forget. The Bible says that we have been given the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Every person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and who belongs to Him, the Spirit of God has been given to us to dwell within us. And this is the point I want to make or remake. He never leaves us. Now, I don't know what that statement produces in your mind in the way of pictures. Maybe for some, it means it doesn't matter what I do, the Spirit of God is still with me. Maybe it means that from now and right through to the end of my life, the Spirit of God is with me. But here is the truth of it. Every second of every day, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, whether we say, praise God, hallelujah, I know that, I experience it, or whether we say, that sounds so strange and so alien to me, it's like I've never experienced the presence of God, whichever side of those extremes we might be, or anywhere in between, doesn't change the truth of God's word, which is this: the Spirit of God dwells in us. And one of the things that we may need to take into conversation with the Spirit of God is, Holy Spirit, bring that word with such force into my heart that I don't just know it in my head as a fact in the Bible, but I know it in my heart. Every second of every day, you're with me. I tell you, I just came back from Nepal, and God just lined things up like you could not imagine. And so I'm flying out there. I had to take two flights, one through Singapore. And so I thought to myself, I'm going to rest. I was a little bit tired. I'm going to rest. It's going to be busy, so I'm going to rest. And so I get on the plane, and the Holy Spirit within me just wants to talk. And talk. And talk. And I was very willing to listen. And listen. And listen. And right through that first flight, and pretty much all the way through the second, He was just filling my heart with the Word of God, with His purpose, with His will. And I'm just meditating on His Word. And just listening. And I didn't ever step out of that place. The moment I had my first meeting with some people, everything that the Spirit of God had been speaking to me, it just came like a flood. Everything that God had said He would fulfill, He did. You see, He is always, always with you. We was in a vision team meeting this morning, which Patrick was leading, and he made just the most amazing statement. The Spirit of God loves to talk. He wants to speak to us. And He does. When we raise our children, we teach them how to talk, yeah? I wonder how often we teach them to listen. And sometimes we've got to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. You see, prayer is an integral and a vital part of our relationship with God. We don't have a religion. I'm not religious. I have a relationship with God. Do you? Or do you have just a religion? Are you following specific religious duties that you think will keep you right with God? My friends, you've read a different Bible to the one that God wrote. God desires not for us to be religious, but to have relationship with Him. And as in any relationship, communication is crucial. And that is what prayer is. Communication with the living God. Speaking and listening. Listening and speaking. When Jesus was speaking to His disciples once, we read this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, in this manner. He didn't say, pray every time like this or always quote this prayer. No harm if you do that, as long as the Spirit of God has put it in your heart. But He says, this is how we pray. In this manner, our Father in heaven. You see, above everything else, God desires to have relationship with us and to grow that relationship in our prayer life with Him. Praying in the Spirit is God's provision. It's His prayer provision. It is His way. Always pray in the Spirit. Always. It's not a method of prayer. You see, 1 Corinthians 2:14 reminds us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Us, our natural man, the natural part of us, cannot receive, cannot know the things that are of the Spirit of God. They seem foolishness. No, my friends, it is by the Spirit of God that we pray. This is God's provision for us. This is how God has designed for you and I, as His children, to have fellowship and to have communion, communication, that's what I mean by communion, with Him in His Spirit. You see, as humans, we seem to like methods. Someone says, oh, I heard God this way. I'm not going to mention any examples. I heard God this way. This is how God speaks to us. And another would say, oh, I heard God this way. This is how God speaks to us through certain things. But the way that the Bible teaches us that God speaks to us is by His Spirit. Because the things of the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Now, we may look at creation, and in creation, God is seen. Absolutely. But we are not to make the things of creation the means by which God communicates with us all the time. It must be by His Spirit, because the things of the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness. And so praying in the Spirit, one, my Spirit, one with the Spirit of God, that is the way that God has purposed and provided for you and I to have fellowship with Him. And that's beautiful because, let's say, for example, this sounds silly, and it's not meant to be silly, it's just meant to make an example. Let me say that one day I think that this cafe table is how God speaks to me. Mm-hmm. God speaks to me. I look at it and I think, well, that's God speaking to me. What happens when I'm not in the same place as that cafe table? I can't hear the voice of God. You see, when we limit the way in which God speaks to us, when we try to box God in and we say, this is how God speaks to me, This is the means that God uses. We actually restrict our ability to have fellowship with him because our faith and our belief is in something that is natural instead of the Spirit of God. But you see, the Spirit of God dwells right inside us. And he never leaves us. So that means as a child of God, wherever I go, and no matter what circumstance I find myself in, there is no limitation to me to hear the voice of the Spirit of God who can lead me, and we come one together in prayer. There's no limitations, no restrictions. This is the way that God has purposed for us to experience beautiful fellowship with him all the time. Praying in the Spirit. Me joining my heart, my spirit with God. Listening to what God is speaking to my heart. Agreeing with that. Coming into agreement with God. Believing that what God said is true. And being empowered by his Spirit to see that come to pass. Let me just put a little bit of meat on this for you. Sorry to mention food. It's close to lunchtime. And sorry if you're vegetarians. I'm not. Let's say, for example, you feel sick and you don't know what God wants you to do. So you go to God and you say, Holy Spirit, show me what your will is. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. Oftentimes we don't hear because we make an assumption ourselves. Do you realize we make assumptions all the time? And they're not necessarily always based on the truth of God's word. Back in England, right at this time of year, everybody is running to the hospitals and the doctors. Do you know why? Because every year at this time, people assume that they're going to catch the flu. So what do they go to hospital? They go there to get their injections. Or we call them jabs. They go to get their injections. They assume. They make an assumption. Nationally, they make this assumption that it's September. The weather's changing. It's getting cooler. I'm going to get the flu. They have faith in it. So they take preventative actions. They pump the bodies full of chemicals. Don't shoot me down. We make an assumption. You can get a symptom of a sickness. And if you're not careful, you can assume that you have contracted something, some disease, that you haven't. And you begin to live on that assumption. You can find yourself in a desperate situation where you feel that everybody around you misunderstands you, doesn't like you anymore. David did once. He'd been out to battle with his men. He came back to Ziklag, which is where all of their families and possessions had been. And while they had been out to war, the enemy had come and taken everything and everybody. And these men who had stood with him in battle, the Bible says they wanted to stone him. David could have made an assumption. Okay, God, my time is over. We had a good run. It was enjoyable being king. Enjoyable that we won these battles. Thank you that I can go down in history as a pretty good leader. He could have made an assumption. He could have made an assumption that his families and all the other families were dead. After all, isn't that what enemies do? They don't just take and plunder your belongings. They like to inflict injury upon you and kill your family members. He could have made that assumption, but he didn't. Do you know what he did? He listened to the Spirit of God. The Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. He says, God, what do you want me to do? Do I chase these people? If I do, will I get back those things that they've stolen? The Lord said, chase them. You'll overcome them. You see, it's a human weakness to make assumptions. As the children of God, we don't need to do that. We don't need to let our feelings or even the facts determine what God's will is. We need to let the Spirit of God speak His word into those situations. If you're in the habit of shouting amen or hallelujah, praise the Lord, that was a good one. So this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, always pray in the Spirit. And then it says this, stay alert. Stay alert. Now, in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, we're told to stay alert because we have an enemy, the devil. It says he's going around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, this is not the meaning, this is not the implication here. We're praying in the Spirit. What are we alert about? Stay alert. Listen to the Spirit of God. When I was a young man, I used to go to the prayer meetings with my father, and they used to go on quite a long time. And I used to fall asleep. I'm just confessing. And I think most people did as well. Unless, you know, they were praying in snores. I was not alert. I didn't know how to listen to the Spirit of God. Pray always in the Spirit. Stay alert. Listen to the Spirit of God. Here's a suggestion. When you're faced with a challenge, when you're faced with something you don't know what to do, switch Google off. I'm telling you the truth. Listen to the Spirit of God. Let Him speak into your heart the words of Jesus, the words of truth, the words of life. I don't have shares in Google, by the way. I'm not against them. But that's not where you'll get words of life. You'll get suggestions. You'll get ideas. Long ago, I stopped living by suggestions and ideas. I decided there's only one source of truth, and that's the Spirit of truth. And praise God, He dwells within me. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Listen, and am known by my own. Do you know your shepherd? Do you know his voice? My sheep hear my voice, he said, and I know them and they follow me. You see, if you know the voice of your shepherd, that's who you follow. Do you know the voice of your shepherd, the Spirit of Christ who dwells in you? Do you recognize his voice? Do you sense those nudgings when the Holy Spirit doesn't have to shout at you or cause lightning to strike a tree as you walk past it or write letters visibly on a wall, but you just know the Spirit of God is nudging you into truth, into life. Jesus said, I know my sheep and I am known by them. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Listen. Wow. And I give them eternal life. You see, my friends, eternal life was not just something that God gave to you like a gift or a present when you first got saved and you just harbor it. You just keep it like you preserve something. Eternal life is an eternal organism that just lives and breeds life and produces life everywhere we go, in every situation and circumstance. And the way that we experience that life within us, that gift of eternal life, is when we know the voice of the Spirit of Christ, our shepherd, and we follow it. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." He says, they don't just say, "Oh, that's the voice of Jesus. Hi, Jesus," and walk their own way. They follow. They listen. They adhere to what he speaks. They believe it. They follow him. And I give them eternal life. Oh, my friends, if there's one experience in our life where we could know eternal life, that's in our fellowship, our communication with God, in our prayer life. The second thing that it says in that verse back in Ephesians 6, be persistent in prayer. Listen, stay alert, be persistent. As Young Ho taught us last week, God's word and his Spirit, they are eternal. When we go into quote unquote prayer with our own ideas, that's when we give up easy, because they are just our own ideas. They are thoughts, ideas of men. They have no substance. Even if someone has said to you, "Do this, I did it, it worked," unless it is the eternal word of God, it has no eternal value. And when we ride on the back of something else that somebody has done, or simply a human thought or idea, we pray it once, twice, three times maybe. It doesn't work. We give up. We say, prayer doesn't work. God doesn't listen. Now, don't give me that holy look like you've never done that. But you see the difference when we listen to the Spirit of God. When we pray in the Spirit and we listen to what the Spirit of God is telling us, he only speaks to us what is true. He only speaks to us what is life-giving. And there is something that works in our heart that confirms to us that his word is true. What God has said, it will come to pass. And we're reminded of words in the Bible, like God says of his word, "It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I sent it to do." My friends, he doesn't make that promise about ideas we have. Doesn't matter how good they are. You may think you've got $1 million to invest, and here is the most secure investment ever, guaranteed 100% by man. You may think that's a sensible investment. That's a good idea to do. But there's no guarantee. And God does not promise that when you follow your own ideas, that you will experience his blessing on your life. There's no promise like that in the Bible at all. But when we live by his word, no matter how strange it may seem, how ridiculous it may seem, or even how common sense it may seem, when we live, those are not the issues. What is the issue is, what has God said? When we raised our children, one of the words that we raised our children on was this: the word of God. Train a child in the way that they are to go, and when they grow old, they will not wander, depart from it. That's what we had faith in. I didn't have faith in my human ability as a father, or my great ideas as a dad. The success, the beautiful relationship I have with my wife is not based upon my thoughts, my ideas, my wisdom, my desires. I tried those and it failed. It's based upon what God says, his word, as his Spirit speaks constantly those words of life and truth to me. The promises of God in him, in Christ, are always yes. God, you've said this. Will you do it? Well, of course. Yes. And in him, amen. Why? To the glory of God through us. You see, God desires that our lives glorify him. That's what we're here for, to glorify him. John chapter 16, I think it's verse 15, says that the Spirit of God has been given to us to glorify Christ. Read it. To glorify him. When the Spirit of God speaks God's word to us and we obey it, we follow it, we have faith in it, it glorifies God. God gives his promise that he may fulfill it, that he may be glorified. And it's the Spirit of God, as we pray in the Spirit, who reveals the word of God to us. I want to say this just before I close. This, my friends, this prayer life that God has prepared for us is so beautiful and so simple and so uncomplicated that any child of God of any age can live in this. I tell you, as our children were growing up, We sought to teach them to pray this way, in the Spirit, listening to God. Not coming with just loads and loads and loads of requests. Yes, the Bible says if you don't ask, you won't have. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. But that asking is, we would never say to our children, what do you want? Oh, I want this. We'll ask God for it. We would say to them, what does God want you to have? And they would go and they would seek God. And as they grew up, we would say, what does God want you to do with your life? And we never said to them, oh, we want you to do this. You see, because listen, children who love God, they have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. And the Spirit of God is well able to speak right into their hearts. And I'm just going to say it this way. Sometimes he finds it easier with kids than he does with us adults. But it doesn't need to be that way. Don't make that an excuse. Don't say, I'm an adult and I've just made it hard for God. Well, if you have, repent. Repent. And say, God, I've just been too smart in my own eyes. I've just wanted to do things my way. I've looked to you like a genie in a lamp. So my prayers have been really just rubbing that lamp and hoping that you'll come out and give me my wish. And I see that that's not your way. That's not your will. And I've got disappointed. I've got heartbroken. I've become disillusioned. But God, I can't say I've become disillusioned with you. I realize now I'm disillusioned with my method. And then why don't you come and embrace the beautiful Spirit of God who dwells in you and say, Spirit of God, teach me to pray. He will. He won't give you prayers that you write down and you keep reading them, you keep praying them. Oh my, the Word of God is far more life-giving than that. God's Word brings life to our whole being. And it liberates us from the prison of trying to impress God, trying to do. Have you ever done this? Have you ever wondered to yourself, God, am I saying the right words when I pray? Am I allowed to say this? Am I praying the same way? Do you want me to kneel? I'll kneel if you want me to. Do you want me to lay prostrate on the floor? Do you want me to stand? Do you want me to walk around? My friends, it's not in the method. It's not in the method. Praying in the Spirit, one with the Spirit of God. Jude 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourself up. He's talking about, sadly, people who have turned to the ways of this sinful world. He says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Only by the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. There's no other way. You can't discipline that. You can't control it. Did you know that sin is uncontrollable? We kid ourselves sometimes and we think, I've got it under control. Well, you haven't. Sin is uncontrollable. It will always take you further than you intended to go. It will always cost you more than you intended to pay, because it is of the devil, the destroyer. Keep yourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Spirit, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God, my friends, wants us to experience every moment of every day His life, His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwelling in us. Christ Himself living His life in us and through us.